Need your daily fix on mixed martial arts?
We're going to kind of recap Bellator 155.
From UFC 198.
Who's who?
Kind of a controversial decision.
And who's not?
I couldn't figure out why, and then it hit me.
Well, don't you fret, because Golden State Media Concepts got you covered. Get your daily dose of MMA podcast. Everything from the UFC, Bellator Fighting Championships, Extreme Cage Fighting, Invicta Fighting Championships, and so much more. Join us as we talk about some of the biggest names in mixed martial arts. We've got you covered here on Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast.
All right, now, thank you for tuning in to the Golden State Media Concepts Mixed Martial Arts Podcast. I'm your host, Tate, and today we're talking about UFC 214, Cormier versus John Bones Jones, which happened this past weekend. And let me tell you something, this fight did not disappoint. This card did not disappoint. You had a little something for everyone in this card, but it was capped off with John Jones reclaiming his light heavyweight title from Daniel Cormier. And, you know, with this win, this pretty much slates that John Jones is the greatest. He's the greatest light heavyweight of all time, and he is arguably the greatest fighter of all time. And, you know, when I start thinking about the greatest of all time, I always put in Anderson Silva. I go back to the old school, I know, but Hoist Gracie, John Jones, GSP. That's my big four. And with this win, John Jones might have climbed above all of them. Now, this fight, it was a third round high kick knockout, which is a big deal. And this goes a long ways in cementing John Jones as the greatest of all time. You're looking at Daniel Cormier, arguably the second greatest light heavyweight in history. Undefeated as a heavyweight. Undefeated as a light heavyweight, with the exception of the two losses to John Bones Jones. Now, when we look at this card, you know, round one was a super close round. I gave the round one to John Jones just because when the fight started out, he landed a lot of significant shots. You know, he really started to fight off really strong. Cormier nailed him right away with a huge uppercut, which I thought was going to be the key to this fight, because the last fight, Cormier let a lot of opportunities for uppercuts slide, but Cormier kind of established himself right out the gate with a huge uppercut, which knocked John Jones's mouthpiece out. It was a lot of pressure by Cormier, a lot of big shots from John Jones. But in the end, I had John Jones squeaking it out. I was kind of surprised that when I was listening to the recap, everyone in the studio for Fox, which granted, they're kind of friendly with Daniel Cormier. They gave all the rounds, the first and second round, and said that Cormier was winning the third round. I gave round two to John Jones as well. I thought Cormier was coming on strong, but in the end, I thought John Jones was landing a lot of significant shots as Cormier was trying to kind of march him down. Cormier kept putting pressure on, but Jones kept firing shots. And the thing about it is, Jones came with a game plan, and he was mixing shots up. It was massive head shots mixed in with low kicks, oblique kicks, knees to the stomach. He kept taking that. He kept working the entire body, legs, body, head, legs, body, head. He kept on. And a lot of the work that he was doing, especially with the oblique kicks and the knees, there was a lot of body work early in the fight, which later we find out was part of their game plan. One, by doing a lot of low kicks, a lot of knees to the stomach, it wears down your opponent. And then two, it really set Cormier up for the round three high kick, which knocked him out. When you go into, you know, round three, Cormier's really pressing the issue, and Cormier's turned this into a boxing match in his as far as the way he was approaching it. Granted, he did have some leg kicks which were a little different than the first fight, but he wasn't really trying to wrestle with John Jones. And when John threw that high kick, when John Jones first threw it, Cormier naturally went for to protect his body, and he dropped his hands and kind of jumped back with his body, but that kick came up and over, not quite like a question mark kick. It just came straight on over. Before Cormier could recover, he was nailed. He was rocked. John Jones jumped on him. He tried to do a flying knee. He did a kick which made Cormier stumble, go down, and then the ground and pound. And that's one of the things about John Jones's game that everyone kind of overlooks. John Jones's ground and pound is his best part of his game. Because of how tall and lanky he is, that ground and pound comes from a much higher place than most fighters are able to throw that high kick. So, not the high kick, but the shots to the head. So they were devastating shots. Now, when Cormier was getting hit at one point when he was on the ground, I personally was like, I was yelling to that they should stop it. When Cormier's arm collapsed down, there was like another five or six shots that I thought should have been stopped, the fight should have been stopped way earlier. But I'm actually, in this particular case, I'm glad that Big John McCarthy did not stop the fight earlier. And the reason why that is because when the fight was stopped and it was over, when Cormier got up and he was on Dream Street, he was still wobbly. He was wobbly way after the fight was over, but he didn't realize that he gotten stopped. And he was saying that initially that he thought the fight was stopped too early, and he was complaining to Dana. He was mad at Big John. As a matter of fact, he lightly shoved Big John as well. Nothing major, but he did. Big John just ignored it. But then when he looked up at the screen and he watched the replay, you could see the shocked look on his face, that he knew he had gotten stopped. And it was clear that it wasn't an early stoppage. He just got beaten. And you see him, just the shocked look on his face, and then the emotional outburst where he just starts crying. You know, he's hurt. He's really hurt. One of the things, I was surprised when Joe Rogan came over and actually interviewed him after the fight, because he was devastated. And it's the thing that was really tough to hear was when he was crying and he's saying, you know, Rogan asked him about the rivalry between him and Jones. And he said, If you lose twice to the same guy, there isn't a rivalry. And, you know, and I think at that point, Rogan realized, like, you know what, we're just wrapping this up. And he just thanked him, and moved on. I personally, I really wanted to hear what he had to say, but I was hoping he would show up for the press conference afterwards, but he didn't. But I will say this: John Jones was a classy guy afterwards. It wasn't like the last time where they were, you know, there was still a lot of animosity against Cormier. He said some really nice things in the interview about how he was a great champion. He hopes to be a champion like him. He's a great father. He really was class personified, like when after the fight, which I truly applauded him for doing that. Now, you know, I started second guessing myself when I started watching the UFC on Fox, the after show, where they all had Cormier winning the first two rounds and winning the third when he got knocked out. I didn't see it that way. I looked at it as, you know, I thought Jones clearly won the first. I had him edging out the second really close. That second round I thought could go either way. And I did think he was starting to win the third. But when you look at the official scorecards, all three judges scored the first round for John Jones. The second round was more of a split. Two of the judges gave it to Cormier. One judge scored it the way I did, where he gave it to the second round to John Jones. So on one judge scorecard had it 2-0 for Jones. And the other two had it 1-1, kind of the way Dana White had it. But no one really had it Cormier winning. So I was kind of, you know, I wanted to clarify that, because sometimes when you start listening to the broadcast, you those guys are experts. But when you're scoring a fight, you know, sometimes personal feelings get involved. Cormier is a really nice guy. I'm a big fan of his. But in my opinion, I didn't think he had won both rounds and under no circumstances. Also, when I was looking at the fight, and I've watched the fight 2 or 3 times, and actually I've watched it 3 times. I looked at the fight, and two things I realized. First off, the pace that Cormier had, in my opinion, had already lost the first 2 rounds. Let's say he split the first two. I didn't think the pace that he was going at, even if he wouldn't have gotten knocked out, I don't think he could have kept the pace going, because Cormier was clearly at his best. This was the best Cormier I'd ever seen. I've watched probably 90% of all of his fights, even before he got to the UFC. This was the best Cormier you could actually have. In my opinion, though, I thought John Jones, because, you know, I think there's a little revisionist history. I think, you know, everyone talks about how spectacular Jones was. John Jones had a year and a half hiatus. Then he came back and he fought OSP. And then he had another year and a half. And then he fought Cormier. So technically, this was his second fight in 3 years. And I thought it showed. I thought a very rusty John Jones. John Jones was getting, Cormier really cracked Jones a number of times. But I personally thought John Jones was very rusty, because he was getting hit with a lot of shots that he would not normally have gotten caught with. Just like he was with OSP. He got caught with a couple of shots when he fought OSP that he would not normally have gotten caught with. With that being said, and I'm saying this as Daniel Cormier is the second best light heavyweight in the history of mixed martial arts, and that's all divisions. I mean, that's all organizations. Cormier at his absolute peak, at his absolute best, and a rusty John Jones still wins. And that goes to show you how impressive John Jones is. This is no slam or anything against Daniel Cormier, because I have so much respect for Cormier. And I think Cormier can whoop every single person in the light heavyweight division, not named John Jones right now. But even a rusty John Jones is better than, Cormier at his peak. I think this the next fight that John Jones is going to have, I think you'll see a dramatic improvement. Because, you know, the timing. Cormier made John Jones miss a lot of shots. He wasn't catching. There's a number of shots that he should have landed flush way before that he missed. And that goes down to his timing wasn't quite there. Even though as impressive as he was, he still had a timing issue, in my opinion. Now, when we're talking about after the fight, and we're talking in the interview, at one point at the very end of the fight, John Jones grabs the mic and he makes a comment in regards to he put up a challenge to Brock Lesnar as far as Brock Lesnar. Do you want to know what it feels like to get your butt kicked by a guy that's, 40, 50 pounds lighter than you? And he challenged them. And at first I was super excited about, the prospect of a John Jones Brock Lesnar fight. But, when I took the time to really think about the fight, my initial thoughts were this is just a bad fight for John Jones. But as I look at things, John, when you look at this matchup, I think if Brock's able to grab Jones at any point in this fight and take Jones down and he's on top, I don't think there's any way possible that John Jones could get Brock Lesnar off of him. If Brock ever takes him down and gets on top, it'll be over. You got a guy that's going to be at least 40 to 50 pounds heavier than John Jones at the time of the fight. Now, with that being said, with John Jones, if John Jones uses his reach and his speed, John Jones has more skill than anyone Brock Lesnar has ever stepped in the ring with. Alistair Overeem is probably the person with the most skills. At a distance, Brock stands no chance. He's going to have to charge. Pretty much just charge John Jones, which I think would be a strategy. In order for John Jones to fight Brock Lesnar, I think you have to be very careful. And it may end up being like the co-main event, which was Damian Maia versus Tyron Woodley, where it was a little bit more of a tactical, more boring fight, because you cannot press that. If you press the issue with Brock Lesnar and he grabs Jones, takes him to the ground, it's over. If at any point Brock Lesnar gets on top of Jones, I don't think he has an answer for it. That's a different animal, 40, 50 pounds on you, world-class wrestler, Olympic-level wrestler, on top of you, but with a huge weight difference. That's my take on it. So that concludes my thoughts on the John Jones fight.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.